Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. Happy Festivus, listeners.
To the rest of us.
This is the day.
This is the day.
We've been waiting for them.
Yes.
It's the day. And, I mean, what a delight that this episode of Killing Time falls exactly on Festivus.
God, it's almost as though it's a Festivus miracle.
This is exactly
the Festivus miracle.
This is exactly what a Festivus miracle is.
That's right.
Wow.
I know.
We're already jumping in. I love it so much.
Dude, we're so on the same page.
Yes.
We are. We're foregoing Christmas. We're talking about Festivus because it's really what matters in life.
Because I got a lot of problems with you people and you're going to hear about it.
We are later on.
That's right.
But first, I think that we need to get into the dark day.
Yes. The dark day. Today is December 23rd and this was the day that Vincent van Gogh cut off his own ear.
Ooh.
Now, it was only the lower part of his left ear.
The lobe?
You wonder if it was, I mean, he was suffering from severe depression. You wonder if it was just the lobe or if it was more. But a lot of people show it like as if it was like the entire ear,
yeah.
like in Reservoir Dogs. But, he was considered, probably a starving artist back then. He only sold one painting in his lifetime, but now he's considered one.
Believe.
Of the masters.
That's always how it is. No one appreciates you till you're gone.
No. I mean, I think that nowadays people start to, kind of.
Maybe.
But like, God, all of the greatest, mm-hmm. they just were, if they only knew.
If they only knew.
That a bunch of other people were making money off of their genius work.
Yeah, Sunflowers and Starry Night. And Starry Night's actually pretty small. I don't know if you've ever seen it live. It's actually kind of a tiny painting. I think it's in New York, which mm-hmm. is weird too, because there's a whole Van Gogh museum in Amsterdam and it doesn't have his most famous painting.
I went to that. Yeah, that's bizarre.
Because I'm sure people all go there being like, oh, where's that? And then they're like, no, it's in New York.
It's in New York, actually.
Yeah, sorry. Can I get my money back? Nope.
I feel like all of those great paintings are so much smaller than you think they are.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mona Lisa is
like a tot.
Yeah, a little tot.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So
you barely see it when you go to the Louvre.
You can't because there's like
a crowd
500
of people
there.
And you're like, I'm staring at a fucking tot's head. A Xerox of a tot.
And you're like
there.
20 feet away because they have it so highly guarded, of course, mm-hmm. because somebody would fuck with it. It's just, it's a whole to-do.
Yeah. I mean, I will say David is good in Florence. Michelangelo's David. That's impressive. It's just like, all right, it's as big as you'd want it to be.
Yeah. But most
but a lot of them are pretty small. Paint was expensive. What are you going to do?
That's true. All right. Well, this is a dark day.
Yes.
It's bleak. Who wants to lose their ear or part of it?
Not me. Interesting, though. I never knew it was only part of his ear.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, when we come back, we have got a little bit of bitching to do before we get into the Festivus
spirit.
Mm,
of the Festivus ghost.
Please rise, court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Every week we are bringing a person, place, thing, or an idea, or a thought, or something on our minds to the table. We're either going to prosecute it or defend it based on what our opinions are, and then at the end we'll vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Mm-hmm. Take it to Instagram, see if we are on the nose with our opinions or if we are totally fucking off.
Yes.
So I know Alexis and mine are both holiday themed.
Sure.
So I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. So today I'm prosecuting a notion. I'm not sure if anyone else can relate to this. If you're an adult and another adult sends you a Christmas list of things they want when you didn't ask.
Unsolicited Christmas list.
I think the only time it's okay to send a list to adult list is like when you're registered getting married.
Yeah.
And that's also like, it's over here on this website you have to visit. Like, I'm not targeting you and sending you a list. Like,
I'm not handwriting a list and delivering it.
These are the things I want, and anyone invited to my wedding is welcome to fulfill any of my desires. A Christmas list, being singled out by someone and who sends you a whole list of items they want, is a little bit of, I'm a little taken aback every time it happens.
Again, I will go back to the thought that I think giving gifts to adults is bizarre. And I think that, no, I think feeling obligated to give a gift to an adult is bizarre. So if you're so like in your own world that you think you deserve a list of gifts
from one person,
and you're going to send that list when somebody didn't even ask you, like, right, that is an insane thought to me.
See, I think holiday season, I always give everyone in my family gets a gift. Mm-hmm. Because like, what are they going to be around the tree and Uncle Joe doesn't get one, but
whoever that you're spending the actual Christmas with that you're opening up the gift should probably get a gift.
Everyone should get a gift.
Yes.
Right. So that's the thing. It's like that, I feel it's not an obligation. I really like getting gifts. I really like wrapping gifts.
I love giving gifts.
Me too. I'm really into it. So I'm so down, and I promise the person who I'm talking about isn't listening, but I would have gotten you a good gift anyway. I don't need the list.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like a competent gift giver, I think, when I actually do it.
Yeah, it's very
weird. Last year of our friendship group, only Jared got a gift. He got guitar socks.
But that's the thing. It's like we've all agreed that if the gift
fits,
if the idea for the gift just comes to you in a dream,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and you're like, you know who really needs this? Jared needs a pair of guitar socks.
Like the year you got me the George Costanza sweatpants.
Exactly.
Like that was perfect.
Yes.
And I think you got those on Etsy. Like you went out of your way. You're like, because she needs them.
Yes.
And like, we don't obligate each other to give each other gifts. But like, when I gave you the Larry David Kirby yes, pin, it's like you needed it.
But us three, we are very creative and sentimental gift
yes,
givers.
Yes.
Like, I'm not the type of a gift giver that's going to give somebody something on their list. Like, I never ask like anybody in my immediate family, because that's who I give gifts to. I'm like, I don't want you to tell me what you want, because I'm going to figure out what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the research and I'm going to get creative and maybe I'll make something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very weird thing, because it seems so detached
yeah,
when you're just like, here's a list of materialistic things that I want.
Yeah, imagine I was like, here, Jack, I got you something, and I got you like a candle. You'd be like, why? Or like a room spray. You'd be like, why did you get me this? Like,
or like, well, AirPods.
Yeah, you'd be like, this is so boring, and like something I could buy myself.
That's exactly what,
like,
it is.
We can all buy, like, my parents keep asking me what I want for Christmas, and I was like, really? I want literally nothing.
Same.
I want to buy a home.
Yes.
Which you can't do for me.
Yes.
I want a vacation. You can't do that for me.
Like, yeah.
I want to write a book. You can't do that for me. Like, literally anything I want, I have.
Yeah, same.
Except, like, you know, that's
or
really it.
The things that I want are way too expensive to ask for a gift. Like, this.
I'd be a huge dick to ask you to give me that.
Yeah, like a new Louis Vuitton backpack. Like,
$2,000. No, not going to happen.
Nobody's getting me that. So, yeah, it's. I think the idea of these, like a gift list like that are obviously very arbitrary. They're not that thoughtful ideas to begin with. It's
yeah,
just very, it's interesting to me.
Totally. So that's what I'm, you know, putting on the stand, sending another adult a list of gifts you'd like.
Unsolicited.
Unsolicited.
yes.
So
a list of gifts you'd like. Like, fuck off.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah. I
Or just your Amazon wish list.
Or your Amazon.
Honestly, that I can handle. Because then I don't feel as targeted. That's just your general wish list. So
yeah,
pick something off that. I'd feel a lot less like pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A list emailed to me, just to me, like no one else has copied, is kind of aggressive.
It's actually insane.
I'm honestly used to it. So anyways, so what do we think? Guilty or?
I'm so fucking guilty.
Guilty? Yeah, guilty, I don't like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes
I haven't had a unanimous verdict in a mm-hmm. while. This feels good.
I mean, I feel more passionate about that than I do most
Thank you. Honestly, I've never felt so supported by you.
Thank you. You know I hate that shit.
I know.
Okay, I'll go next because All on right. the idea of gifts, mm-hmm. I'm putting on the stand the idea, and this is inspired by Alexis.
Are you defending or prosecuting?
Unsure.
Okay.
The idea of giving cash is
cold hard cash.
Cold hard cash.
Now, I love it.
To a friend.
To
anyone.
So this is inspired by my Uncle Rick. Every Christmas, he sends me a card, and he sends me a $100 bill
I love
in
that.
The card. Wow. I am 34 years old.
I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I make really good money for myself, and he sends me a card with
so
cash in it.
It's so sweet. It's such an uncle move.
It's such an uncle move, and it's so sweet coming from him.
And he wants to get you something, and he's like, what am I going to get this woman?
You know,
but it's a gesture.
But he also is a great gift giver. Like, he always makes a care package for my dad.
Cute.
Every year, mm-hmm. and it comes with all these things from their childhood. He includes a bag of their favorite potato chips that you can only buy on the East Coast. Like, it's the most thoughtful, creative little gift from him. And I think that the gift of the cash is kind of just like another part of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely, it's so thoughtful. It comes with like a lot of emotion and care. But that's not usually, cash is usually kind of like a throwaway.
I think cash can be really like comedic. Like, we were literally using like my birthday that's coming up as reference. I'm like, if a friend gave me
cash,
because like $50 is what you'd spend on a friend.
Yeah.
Like, if you were gonna get a gift,
yeah.
like the George Costanza pants you got me, they're probably like 35 with yeah. shipping. It was probably $50.
Right.
It'd be so fucking funny if someone's like, yeah, I don't have time to take you to dinner. So like, buy yourself something around the $35 range plus tax. Like, from me to you, I think that'd be so fucking funny. Like, I want to try it.
It is good.
I'm going to uh-huh. try it just to see what kind
it's
of
gotta
reaction
It's got to be like crisp bills, though. Like a crisp, a crisp $50
like
bill.
Or like a $5. Like, buy yourself a happy hour drink.
Uh-huh.
You know? But it's how is a $5 bill different than a $5 Starbucks gift card?
That's true.
Which I've received from, like, you know, someone saying thank you for something. I've gotten,
yeah.
like, you know, it's like, I think cash is great.
And the great thing about cash is it's free money. Uh-huh. As everybody knows, if you stumble upon some cash, like, that's just free.
Yeah.
Like, you...
Once you take it out of your bank account, it's
gone.
So then you piss it away because you're not, like, seeing a balance
yeah.
depreciate.
Yep.
You're like, it's already gone. I've already mentally prepared to mm-hmm. lose it.
Yeah, so you're not going to...
That's somebody, what we do in Vegas, Jack.
Well, yeah.
Piss our cash away.
Piss it away, and then sometimes I make a lot of it, and
yep.
I just keep it for a rainy day, and I'm like, this isn't real.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I do like about cash, because it kind of... It takes you on your, like build your own adventure kind of a thing. Like, where are you going to spend it? You're not going to spend it on something you would, like a bill. Mm. You're going to spend it on a treat.
Dude, yeah. all of a sudden you're like Daddy Warbucks. You're like greasing the valet with $20.
Yes.
You're greasing this. But like, it's honestly, like, it makes you feel, it's so detached from the truth.
Yes.
Because you've already removed it from your ATM. You sort of become like a big spender. Even then you get home and you're like, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah.
You know, but
you're like, I bought
at the
it.
Time, mm-hmm. it gets you in this mind frame. Like, people go cash crazy.
No, I like the fact, I like Vegas for that very reason is because, and also you end up with a lot of change in Vegas too, because if you play slots or something like that and you get like weird payouts.
Yeah.
I don't play slots.
And then it comes out. So, yeah.
I don't know what that's like.
I only play
What are we playing?
The craps.
The craps.
You guys play craps?
Yeah. I like blackjack too.
I only mm-hmm. play craps. Okay, so cash is a gift. You know, it really like
Let's
made
bring it
me.
Back.
It, I have my stance.
Let's bring yeah. it back.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Look at that.
Love it.
All right.
Billy.
I go now. And I'm putting on the stand.
I go now.
I go now. This is my time.
Okay, Festivus caveman.
I'm putting on the stand, baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, okay.
No, all right, now.
I mean, you're not going to get any arguments there.
Okay, so if you really, you know, I did some research on this. Now, you know, this song is, it has a lot to do with potential, you know, consent, because it's a guy saying, baby, it's cold outside,
I
you
really
need to stay.
Can't stay.
And then he's like,
yeah. Fortunately, it has such a good melody.
Yes.
Honestly, it's so, like, warm by a fire. It's like got a great sound, but like she keeps saying why she wants to go and he keeps
but
coercing
she,
her.
She's saying why she wants to go.
Yeah.
The neighbors might think maybe it's cold outside. So what's in this drink? So we're dealing with a roofie potential situation
yes.
here. And then, you know, he keeps saying, like, I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell. I ought to say, then she says, I ought to say, no, 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 sir. Mind if I move in closer? And then she says, at least I'm going to say that I tried. When you're reading it without the melody, it really is messed up. And then she says, I simply must go. The answer is no. This welcome has been so nice and warm.
There's your consent. Yeah,
there's it right there. That's
Yike.
It.
Yike. I don't know.
No,
it's sort of a reach.
No.
Like, oh, sure, they could have been role playing, but probably not.
But here's the weird thing. So it started with this husband and wife used to do this kind of call and response type of song. That's how it started. Then they would do it at a housewarming party while their guests were like bidding them good night.
Weird.
This is from Rolling Stone, by the way. Then,
you're like, why the fuck are you singing over there?
The first time, that was what people did back then. The first time it was recorded.
Sat around a piano and just was weird. Weird times.
The first time it was recorded was in 1948. Here's where it gets even weirder. It was for a musical called Neptune's Daughter. The male and female,
I like that name.
The male and female parts are played by a wolf and a mouse.
Wait, what? Say that
so
again?
So this gets into furry territory here because this was apparently a wolf and a mouse. And the premise is that the mouse and the wolf have gone on a date, and then they're having a nightcap back at his house. She's trying to leave. He's urging her to stay.
Because he wants to eat her.
Or something, yeah.
This seems like a bestiality kind of undertones.
Yeah. There's a lot of furry things
going on.
Honestly,
do hear about this dynamic a lot. There's a poem? The Spider and the Fly. It's the same thing. The spider is trying to seduce the fly like into her lair so she can fucking eat it. And it's a rapport that sounds like weirdly similar to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, you're so gorgeous, come in my lair. And they're like, feast on your thousand eyes. And, you know, I have a beautiful mirror. And they're like trying to flatter the fly in.
Yeah.
And it's got sexual innuendo, but it's not. It's really meant to like disarm so she can, it's predatory.
Right.
So it actually makes sense if it's about
a very predatory song.
Yes, but if it's about a wolf and a mouse, that actually makes me feel a little better. Mm-hmm. But it never should have been translated into humans.
So, So there is a new Christmas movie out called Love Hard on Netflix.
Oh,
it's with Nina Dobrev. And it's like a cheesy holiday movie. But anyways, the main character, guy in the movie, he like redoes the song because she like hates it. Mm-hmm. So he like rewrites all of the lyrics to be like a more consenting, modern, female empowerment song. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. So
I love that.
And the movie's really cute. So mm-hmm. I highly recommend everybody watching it.
Hell
if they want like an easy, it's like an easy, cheesy kind of modern Christmas movie.
Okay. So maybe it's cold outside.
I mean, super
guilty.
Tons of guilt.
Yes.
Like throw the book at them.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind Festival style.
Ooh. Break out your poles, bitches.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't. And The RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
Yeah. It's rewind time.
Welcome, everyone, to True Crime Rewind.
I'll never get over Billy needing to welcome everyone after a short commercial break.
Short commercial break. You're back.
You're back. Welcome once more.
You've just ordered everything from our sponsors. You know, you might have taken a little break in order to order everything, and now you're back here. This is True Crime Rewind, the Festivus edition.
Woohoo!
Now, you know that we love, crime storytelling, obviously, but we also love Seinfeld. It has been something that has brought us together.
If you're not the Costanza of your friend group, who are you?
So, and as you may or may not know, Festivus is a secular holiday. Mm-hmm. It's celebrated on December 23rd as an alternative to the commercialization and on the pressures of the Christmas season. Now, it was conceived by a guy named Dan O'Keefe, who was the father of a TV writer also named Dan O'Keefe. And they used to celebrate it as early as 1966. This is what happened. They would have certain things like a airing of grievances, the feats of strength, but also apparently the Festivus poll. But the Festivus poll was changed. What was the Festivus poll before that?
Well, I think we need to just touch on the fact that how incredible it is that Festivus was a real thing in real life that got taken into Seinfeld and like immortalized it, but it seems so fucking ridiculous.
Well, this is the thing. Like, if you can dream it, you can fucking do it. Yes. Like, these people just made this shit up.
Look at Elf on a Shelf.
That's true.
That was one family
that's
doing
not
that.
A holiday. Like, in fact, the three of us should come up with our own tradition, maybe January, February, because those are the bleak months.
You know what?
And maybe we come
bleakness.
Up with a bleakness.
Bleakness. Like January 23rd or something around there.
Bleakness.
Wow.
January 23rd,
I think. Most people do dry January, right? So we interrupt dry January. Maybe we do like third week January.
Yeah.
To like derail our friends from the attempted sobriety. To like stimulate the economy. We be the people's economists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because everyone stops spending in January because they're depleted,
Q1
allegedly.
Q1 is the worst, and especially after COVID.
Yes.
Happy fucking bleakness coming your way.
Yes.
Happy bleakness. No, I just love this so much because this guy's family was so fucking wacky.
Committed.
They're committed and
dude.
Bizarre.
And they have each other's backs. No one was like, that's ridiculous, Dad. It was like, of course we're celebrating Festivus, Dad.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously there's a Festivus pole on Seinfeld, and that's basically just this metal pole that's on two pieces of wood for the most part.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a Festivus pole in real life. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to describe what
it
was?
Yes, please.
So instead, Dan O'Keefe's dad, instead of the pole, what he did is he would put a clock inside of a paper bag, and he would nail the paper bag onto a wall.
Was there any like poetic significance? Like, I want to understand the symbolism here.
No,
it's like, no, time stands still. We blind it, yet we are slaves to it.
Something along those lines sounds.
And this is what I think is so funny. This is from the Wikipedia. He did an interview about it. I think it was on CNN or something about Festivus. Dan O'Keefe did. And he said, it was never the same bag, rarely the same clock, but always the same wall.
Whoa, hella holes in that wall.
And then he goes, the real symbol of the holiday clock was a clock that my dad put in a bag and nailed to the wall every year. I don't know why. I don't know what it means. He would never tell me. He would always say, that's not for you to know. How fucking amazing
is
that?
A fucking man of mystery.
Yes.
An icon.
And you know what? Because I am such a fucking pussy. I would have given up my rationale right then because I'm a people pleaser. I'd be like, I got to justify myself to you.
No,
this man is too badass.
The confidence
to comprehend.
That this man must have had, like, he was just doing this shit. He was so smooth,
dude. He didn't even want to impart the wisdom on his son. That's how much conviction he had. Like, it's only for him.
Yeah,
not even to pass down. Only for him.
Yeah,
in this one lifetime.
Yeah,
right.
Not to be shared generationally.
Yes.
No.
So now on the television show, the clock was replaced with the Festivus pole.
Yes.
Now the pole is unadorned because Frank Costanza, he found that tinsel was distracting.
Well, you can't, and it's a metal shaft. Like, how do you?
I don't know. You might be able to.
You could put stickers on it or something.
Stickers?
Do
you
know.
Think Frank Costanza would be like, let me get some like fucking puffy paint stickers or whatever?
I don't know. You never know.
Lisa Frank stickers.
I do wonder where it went from the clock to the pole, because I love the pole, but the clock is also fucking amazing.
Maybe it was like loosely based on the maypole.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but
they would dance with the streamers around the maypole.
So for dinner, now in the Festivus episode, if you watch, they all gather around a table. Estelle delivers serves a what is described on Wikipedia as a sliced reddish meatloaf-shaped food on a bed of lettuce, which sounds delicious.
Oh, like reddish?
Sounds like the 1960s, like gelatin foods.
Yeah.
Yes. Casserole. And yes. And there's no alcohol, but George's boss, Mr. Kruger, actually has a hip flask and he drinks out of that. Mm. Now,
desperate times.
After the dinner, what happens is the airing of grievances.
Yes.
In which Frank Costanza says, I got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about it.
You people.
That's so good. So do we need to air some grievances?
I mean, I think Billy should start.
Okay.
Really? I love everybody equally and affirmatively.
But I have have a single grievance?
I got a file corrupted today, and I had to use a...
No, you know, that's
I can't
not
use
what
that.
It is.
No, you have to air them with us.
Air them with
the
you guys?
Dinner table.
You can be vague. You don't have to target Jack or I. You could say, you people.
You people are... I can't... Don't put me on a spot on
let
this.
Let me paraphrase for Billy.
Okay.
You people make me dance and smile in a way that I've never have. In fact, people commented this month for the first time ever that they're happy I have teeth because with you two, I smile for the first time. You tried dances you've never tried before. I think the grievances with yourself, my friend.
I know.
The grievances with yourself, Billy. You refrain from dance and the art of song and dance.
You don't know what I do.
I know when you're alone. Doors.
No, I think Billy, his bone to pick with us is we really knocked down his veneer. You know,
we show the softer side of Billy Jensen.
We show the softer side of Billy Jensen. People actually like see the emotional guy and the joy that's beneath this kind of rigid, moody,
serious
exterior.
So serious. Gonna solve a crime now. No joy allowed.
Justice.
No joy allowed. Like, yeah, you can do that and be a soft, lovable, vulnerable, happy person.
Yeah.
And okay. I think... the grievance, as I said, is certainly not with us, but look within for that, my friend.
Okay.
Look within.
Well, thank you for turning that around. Wonderful.
You're so welcome. That felt fucking great.
Yeah. It felt good.
God, I feel high.
I feel like we just leave. Well, I think we end the area of grievances on that.
Unless you have one.
No, you know.
I love you endlessly.
I love you endlessly.
You're the best friend I've ever had. I love you too, Billy.
Okay, we're going to go to the feats of strength now.
Okay. Do you want to describe what feats of strength is?
Now, the feats of strength is described as, the head of the household selects one person at the celebration and challenges them to a wrestling match.
Yes.
and it's not over until the head of household is pinned.
Do you want to hear something that's so fucking crazy?
And we're going to go do that right now.
Before we get into that, one of Jared's friends got married in the past couple
of
years.
Oh my God, I know this story. It's so good.
And at the wedding,
it's a bachelor party?
No, this is at the wedding. It's a family of all boys. So there's, I think, four brothers and then obviously the dad. And the feats of strength literally happened at this wedding where they were doing a push-up competition. And one kind of started it. One jumped in. Another jumped in. And then it just started into this like big brawl situation where it was literally the feats of strength.
Is this the same groom that had the bachelor party where there was like a blind obstacle course where they had to blindly jump into like a pool of some substance?
It was the same family.
That's fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
I love that.
That should be the next Seinfeld.
This whole feats of strength thing, like as the head of the household, I warn you, Jack is suspiciously agile and strong. Like every time I'm sneaky. Anything physical with her, like I don't know, arcade games where she's shooting hoops or skiing or like fucking anything, really. I'm always like, you're suspiciously fast for someone who moves not so much day to day. And like suspiciously athletic.
Uh-huh.
Like she's a stealth athlete.
You know?
So like I know you're about to challenge her, but be wary.
Oh, I do get wary.
She'll win.
It's the quiet ones that always get you. You know, it's that cool confidence that Dan O'Keefe's dad had about the clock
Dude,
on the wall.
She built that core strength during cheerleading that never
never went
faded.
Away.
Yeah. So, Billy, who are you choosing?
Oh, I'm definitely still going to choose Jack.
Yeah, that was probably smart.
Yeah.
Because I'd fucking win.
We all know Alexis would win.
I'd fight dirty.
Yeah.
Fight real dirty.
I don't want to lose an eye.
And even if you didn't physically win, you would somehow emotionally torture him during that. Oh, no, of course.
Yeah, there would be.
I turned that around on you for sure.
Exactly.
Just with one look.
Okay.
Just my rhetoric.
Yes. Yeah. Now, there's also the Festivus Miracles.
Yes.
These are circumstances that have completely reasonable explanations, but are celebrated at all the same.
Oh, so I love this.
We love a Festivus miracle. Of course, that our episode was airing on Festivus is a Festivus miracle in itself.
Mm-hmm. Almost as if we planned it, but yet we cannot control a calendar.
We shan't. And honestly, you know what? It's going to be another 7 years before Festivus is on a Wednesday again.
Oh my gosh. Mm.
So this one really must be worth it.
It means something. It's meaningful. It's meaningful.
It is meaningful. Do you guys have any Festivus miracles to share other than that?
I think it's a Festivus miracle. I mean, this is sort of out there. Like, am I allowed to get vulnerable right
now?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I think the idea, this is so out of left field. I am so sorry. Oh God. It's because, listen, I think the idea, like modern medicine, right? I'm talking about like egg freezing, which I'm about to embark on.
Yeah.
Like that feels like a Festivus miracle to me. I'm like the fact that I can relieve any sort of pressure and like defer by about a decade if I want.
Yeah.
And live life a little fuller and not have to succumb to the pressures that previous generations had.
Yeah.
That feels, I know modern science explains it, but it also feels like a Festivus miracle.
I think that is way too important of a thing for a Festivus. That's a miracle. Yeah. It's a miracle that you can have a baby that like would be taken out of you this year in 10 years.
Yeah. So that's mine. Mm-hmm. Jack says no.
It's but that's too much of it. That's way too,
that's too good
important
of,
of a thing.
Okay.
I'll give
that's
you a Festivus
miracle.
My Festivus miracle that's happened to me recently is I have recently stopped having nightmares/dreams that Jared and I cheat on each other.
They'll be back.
This is something that happens. It happened almost nightly for like 2 years. And it has nothing to do with our relationship, but I constantly would have a dream that either he or I cheated on each other. And then I'd wake up like in such a frenzy.
Like a hot frenzy or a bad frenzy?
No, a bad frenzy. Because it was like, it was always guilt ridden and like shameful and really, really bad.
Sure.
It was never a hot, steamy affair. And I recently stopped having them. So I think that is a Festivus miracle.
That sure is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have cheat dreams.
I do.
But I don't dream all that much.
Well, you do. You just don't remember them.
I have stressful dreams. I had a dream last night that I buzzed my head. I don't want to talk about dreams, but I had that was a very weird one.
I had a weird anxiety dream. No, I do have dreams, but I don't have cheat dreams.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
I had a dream I was hanging out with Hulk Hogan. So
there you go.
Yeah.
What's your Festivus miracle, Billy?
I mean, I was going to say, but it's too big of a miracle to be a Festivus miracle that me and Alexis didn't kill each other while we were shooting Unraveled and we got the series out.
See, that is a miracle. That's not a Festivus miracle.
We had a great time.
Yeah, we had a great time, yeah.
You know what a Festivus miracle is?
What?
We got food delivery earlier and the fries were soggy. And the Festivus miracle was we threw them in the air fryer and they were immediately crispy and delicious. And that is a Festivus miracle.
You know what the Festivus curse was? That Billy didn't have fucking ketchup.
That is a Festivus curse.
Oh, Festivus curses.
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be a Bleakmas curse.
No,
Bleakmas curse.
So we're going to decide this right now. Bleakmas, I think January 21st.
I think it should always be the third Saturday of every January.
Okay.
You know what the
like
third
Thanksgiving, because a Saturday is a fun day.
It always seems to be on a Saturday. The third Saturday of this January is actually Jared's Music Festival in Phoenix, Arizona. Big music festival.
Oh, I'm coming to that.
Yeah.
I got to come to that.
So we should maybe do Bleakmas a different day.
They should name the festival Bleakmas. Bleak Fest.
Wasn't it called? Their other festival is called Sad Summer. So
Bleak
I kind of
Fest is actually Bleak perfect.
Maybe it's not Bleakmas. It's Bleak,
Bleak Fest.
Fest.
Well, honestly, Bleak Fest.
All right, I'm gonna go by the URLs
okay,
so right
why
now.
Why don't we do Sunday?
We'll do that Sunday or that Friday. That's the question.
No, or we can figure this out later.
Okay.
We'll flush the idea.
Stay
out.
Stay tuned on Bleak Fest.
Can't be the second Saturday because that's already a 3-day weekend. That's already somewhat fun. Okay, you know, so.
Stay tuned for
Bleak Miss is going to be around
Bleak
then.
Bleak Fest 2022.
Yes. Okay.
Next.
Is that's all we have for Festivus. Oh, also, I will say this about Festivus. One of the best...
The Festivus.
One of the best blooper reels that you'll ever watch is from the Festivus episode. It's when Julie Louis-Dreyfus could not keep a straight face when she's being told, I think you're a fox.
Yeah.
So good. So funny. And it was actually, I think it was Larry Charles that had came in and did that role. But apparently,
Larry Charles?
Yeah,
he was one of the Seinfeld producers. Mm.
And apparently, it took 6 hours to film that entire scene.
Yeah, because she kept, I guess, Julia Louis-Dreyfus had this thing when it would be really, really late nights and she'd be really exhausted. She would start having laughing attacks.
I love that.
So it would make all of the scenes even harder for her to finish. So that was like one of those times that she just kept like cracking up at everybody at that table and it just took forever to film. But nobody could be mad at her because she's like
perfect.
Yeah.
She's a fucking genius.
I love her.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, happy Festivus, everyone.
Happy Festivus, everyone.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
And now it's time to hear how awful you all are. It's Festivus. It's a Festivus confession.
Yes.
So brace yourselves. Here we go.
Hello, Jack and Billy and Alexis. I'm sitting in LA traffic listening to Killing Time, and all these, I love my fellow firsties, but some of these worsties are a little bit vanilla, and the thing I'm calling in happened when I was in fourth grade, and I'm almost 30 now. And I still think about it and cringe and feel horrible. And I wish that I could call this woman and apologize to her. But all in all, it had to have been fourth or fifth grade. And I was at my friend's house and we had a babysitter because her mom was out for the evening. And I don't know if it was just us two or if most young girls go through this stage. But we were obsessed with sex and we wanted to know all about sex and why people had sex and what sex looked like. So on this fine evening when the babysitter was downstairs watching television, my friend and I went upstairs on the family computer and proceeded to watch hours of porn on the computer. Just us two. Just watching and learning and understanding what it's like to be an adult, you know, having sex and making love. So after our porn excursion, we closed all the tabs, moved on, played, did whatever fourth graders do. And at the end of the night, when my friend's mother came home, there must have been something was obviously pornographic on the computer. And we could hear the mom get on the phone, and we know she called the babysitter, and she was screaming at her and telling her how gross of a person she was and how she's never going to be able to work again in this town. Because we're from a small town. I mean, one babysitter watches porn. When the kids are asleep, everybody in town is going to know. So this, her mom was convinced that this babysitter watched a bunch of porn with us or while watching us. And she was caught. And she was yelling at her and yelling at her. And the whole time my friend and I were sitting in her room panicking. And now as an adult, all I can think is that damn babysitter knew that it was me and my friend watching porn. And she, what is she going to say? Try to tell the mom, no, no, it was your kids. They were watching porn. No, no one would ever believe that. So this poor babysitter got screamed at and fired for watching porn while she was supposed to be babysitting when it was really me. But basically, this goddamn babysitter got fired for me and my friend watching a shit ton of porn when we were home alone. And all I can think about to this day is that that girl probably thinks we were freaking nymphomaniacs. And I wish that I could talk to her now and tell her that I'm sorry. But oh my God, I don't think I'll ever stop being embarrassed. Knowing that this woman had to take the fall for us because we watched hours of porn on the family computer. Anyway, I love you guys so much, and I don't have anything else to say, but goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Oh, my friend. My friend.
Yes.
Do any of you want to weigh in before I give my thoughts?
No, I think you should go first.
Well, here is the thing. You know, I'm on your side. That's what I do. We don't have the skills at 14 to explain a situation like this. As an adult, you'd be like, hey, there's been a huge misunderstanding. And like, I got to like clear the air. Like, we don't, we have the confidence to do that as adults and be like, you know, I'm so embarrassed. Like, we don't even know how to explain our interest in sex at 14. We don't know how to explain or understand long-term consequences of this woman getting fired or her reputation being sullied. Like, you don't have that ability at 14 to understand that that's even a big deal.
Yeah.
So at the time, you're probably like, oh no, this is awkward. But like, you don't realize that this woman's life could actually be impacted.
Yeah.
So like, you need to forgive yourself there. Cause like, we're just not evolved enough yet. We're just not there. We're childish. We're selfish. We're embarrassed. We are scared of getting in trouble, you know? So I think absolve yourself there. Also though, the mom was very hasty in her conclusions. Like, she didn't do any in personal investigating. She could have asked you about it. And if she had asked you it and or her daughter in a safe, like, hey, it's okay if you're curious. I just need to know before I accuse this woman. You might have admitted it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there are skills here that could have been applied on all ends that didn't jump to conclusions. And, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. And this mom was the judge, jury, and executioner here.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Didn't even investigate.
Well, there isn't. I mean, what is the babysitter going to say? Because it's a catch-22. Because if she says, no, it was the kids, it was like, well, why'd you let the kids do that? You know, at the end of the day, you're responsible for what the kids are doing.
I have I think that this should be an interesting post maybe on Facebook or something for all the ladies. Well, this might be a weird place to talk about it with a bunch of men in the group. But the obsessive watching porn at 14 years old is something that's interesting to me. Because I think, I mean, did you ever watch the show Pen 15? Did Mm-mm. either of you? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. What? You haven't watched it?
No, not yet. I will when I get home.
Okay, Pen 15 is basically about girls that are about 13 or 14 years old that are our age now. So uh-huh. it was like in the late 90s, like early 2000s. Uh-huh. And there was this episode about one of the girls that like she first learned how to masturbate. And so she was like obsessively masturbating at that time. So I think that they're like during that age, there definitely is that curiosity.
Yes.
And I feel like every girl is exploring it differently. But I think the obsessive watching of the porn, even in a stranger's house, is fucking hilarious.
It's super hilarious. And like, I definitely had that phase. I remember it clearly. And I was not doing that.
I wasn't doing that either.
I was not doing that. What I was doing was arguably worse.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. Like, no, nothing like malignant. Like, but I'll be honest. Like, I was 14. I had no supervision. I would go into chat rooms.
Oh, I used to go into chat rooms.
That's what I'm saying. I would go into chat rooms and be like ASL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was very, it was curiosity driven where you're like, you don't know who the fuck you're talking to, but you know what? The risk is low because it's a stranger.
Well, and back,
I'm not going to actually meet up. I was too scared to do that.
Yeah, I think that also we're in a very specific age too that I think when we were that
internet,
age,
brand new.
There was the internet was brand new and it was very anonymous. And there wasn't, mm-hmm. when we were chatting with strangers on, it was literally AOL. Chat rooms that there was never the thought of, you know, I'll continue this after this conversation. Like, it was very just like,
none of it ever moved on to phone calls.
None of it ever moved on to a second conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For me, at least.
Right. Sure. But like, I know that for me sexually, that was like how I was like curiosity.
Absolutely.
It was like manifesting because I was like pressure testing.
Yeah.
But it never went anywhere scary or dangerous.
Yeah.
But like, it did not occur to me because like, I didn't have an understanding of pornography.
No.
So it would never have occurred to me to like Google porn.
Yeah. Also, you know? I think it was probably a lot harder for us to find porn back when we were that young.
Didn't try, so yeah. I don't know. But like, again, not judging you, because like, I feel like if I had known porn existed, if I had an older brother, I probably would have been doing the same thing. I just didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
Frankly.
No, I think that what she did, again, it's another one of those, when we write our fucking show or our movie, what a great scene.
Truly, you know, and you know what? The babysitter forgives you. She's moved on to better things.
She's moved on to better
but
things.
But at that moment, she was probably like, God damn it.
Yeah. These fucking brats
like
again.
Like a catch-22.
She's fucking like, brats.
She's like, there's no way out of it. She just has to take the fall for you like young, tiny, horny girls.
She's been there, you know? We've all been there.
I know.
She forgives you.
She has some empathy, I'm sure.
And you know what? You're awesome. You admitted it. And I'm sorry about the LA traffic. We all feel you there.
Yes. Yeah.
Stand by for the next one.
Hi. So I'm hoping I can be your first international first date worst date. So my story is my Harry Potter pantshitting story, which some of you may have seen on the Facebook group. So I was very hungover. I went for dinner with a friend of mine and we were going to see Half-Blood Prince in the cinema. I maybe underestimated this hangover and ordered a really rich like steak dinner with peppercorn sauce and a few glasses of red wine. didn't sit right. So I was on my way to the cinema. I had the rumblings and I thought, you know, it's a crowded area. I can let some gas out and no one will notice. No one will know it's me. Wasn't gas though, was it? And I shit my pants in public. At this point, I had a choice to make. Do I go home? I didn't go home. I went to the cinema. I got my ticket and my snacks and I threw my pants in the bin and I went to see the film anyway. And my friend still doesn't know to this day that I shat my pants on the way to the cinema with her. That's my first story. I might phone back with some more though. Thank you.
Honestly, the obsession with Harry Potter is so understandable because like it's not me, but they made a whole world here.
Right. Yeah, Universal. You know, it knows no bounds.
It knows no bounds.
Well, I love the fact that anybody with a British accent makes anything sound. I believe it was somewhere, and it was either Scottish, or
British, yeah. Irish. It was hard to tell.
Yeah, but makes any story sound charming.
She sounded like an actress.
God, I'm in love with you. Yeah. Really. I know. Like, I know it was a story about bathroom humor. Normally, I'd have an adverse reaction to you, but like suddenly voice, I want to know more.
No, that voice was all, you know, made
you
it
sound
all okay.
Adorable.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
What kind of snacks did you get the movie?
I have a follow-up question.
Like, after your stomach hurts, what kind of snacks do you buy?
Oh, you know what you buy is you buy fucking Sour Patch Kids because eating sour stuff is really good for your stomach, to settle your stomach. Yeah.
Interesting.
When my cousin was pregnant, she would always eat it for nausea.
Oh my God, I love that.
No, I have some. I had a couple follow-up questions. One was, I might have missed it. You took your pants off and then went into the movie theater. Now, where were they? Were we wearing
underwear?
She meant
undies.
Mm-hmm. She took her underwear off, but
and just had a bare ass in her jeans or her pants.
Logistical, but like, I hope that they caught it all. You know?
I think she saw the whole movie.
No, I hope that her underwear caught all the
You know what? Even if they didn't, it's like, that's commitment. Because you know what? Like, let's revisit. You're a Ravenclaw.
I'm a Raven, but then I took it again. I was a Slytherin. So.
I'm a Slytherin. Don't encroach on my territory. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yes. And Jack is a Gryffindor.
Gryffindor through and through. Yeah. I thought that maybe I could have had some Ravenclaw tendencies for a while. Then I retook the test again, and it's like, nope. Here I am.
Jared is Jigglypuff.
Or Hufflepuff.
Jigglypuff is
Pokemon.
You know what? Pokemon and Harry Potter, this is the crossover we needed.
They do.
Jigglypuff and Hufflepuff are... That's no coincidence.
That is no coincidence. Same type of a person.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this was... What a fucking episode. I hope people... You know, sometimes there's a little bit of a lull over the holidays, but...
Not with us.
You know what? Yeah. If you listen to this episode, you really got a treat.
Yes.
And it's time to treat yourself.
It's time to treat yourself because with the Costanza Stanza.
That's right. And it's called... A Festivus Miracle. Oh. And, you know, I didn't read today's outline. I didn't know Festivus Miracles were a thing. This was just intuitive.
Mm. You didn't?
No.
It's part of the episode.
I didn't read that outline.
No, it's part of the episode of Seinfeld.
The actual episode of Seinfeld.
I have really terrible memory.
She really forgets a lot of stuff. I always try to bring up references to Seinfeld. Like, and she's like, what?
No, she forgets things that happened in her life like 5 minutes before.
Yeah. Yes.
Kiko Bulova for you for Christmas.
Honestly, but I do like 20 things. It's really, like, I can't waste... bandwidth on insignificant things. Okay. A Festivus Miracle. Gather round the Festivus pole. It's the holiday of George, a treat for the soul. Banish resentments, ease all your fears, hope for good fortune in the coming years. Ooh. There's no need to fuss over a Christmas tree, no hanging of stockings, no joy, and no glee. Mm. Don't tempt Santa to bring you a cold piece of coal. Instead, revel in the cold, bare shaft of the Festivus pole.
Wow.
No presents, no feasting, no holiday gathering, no Christmas ham with gravy for the slathering. Mm. Is Festivus the worst holiday that exists in this life? Yes. So happy Festivus to all, and to all, a bad night.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Incredible.
Ooh, that felt good.
Yes. Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus,
friends.